The greatest Pentecostal scholar in the world just died. He also happened to be the only Pentecostal scholar in the world. Pentecostals are now...
He was both the best and worst.
Completely without any help and hope.
Fair.
Run for the hills, Pentecostals.
No. Paula White will be taking
the
his
reformers,
place.
The reformed scholars are Paula coming White. For you with guns. All of a sudden, the reformed scholars are like, we're going DEFCON 4 on the Pentecostals.
Welcome to podcast, what is it, number 8?
Episode 8.
Yeah,
eight.
Great. Episode 8. Before we start, I need to show you guys some toys that I brought today.
Oh.
Okay.
Just get Michael to watch out in the other room.
There's no bullets in here, okay? I did do safe training. Bought this in California.
Didn't they teach you not to dry fire your gun?
I didn't dry fire it. Now I did. So I keep that with me. And then I got, this is a newest little addition. Got this at a flea market in Kentucky for $20. These are brass knuckles, right? Just
Are they legal in Kentucky?
The horse is prepared for battle, but safety's of the Lord. I don't know. I think they're illegal everywhere, actually.
So how did you get it at a flea market then? Who's selling brass knuckles at a flea market?
It's America, dude.
Are you going to get in trouble for having those?
No, I'm not. Those are fake, in case anybody's wondering.
Yeah, they're plastic.
They're plastic.
Yeah, I felt them. Okay, quick ground rules. Number one, no one can talk for more than a minute at a time.
Yep. What's the next one?
Everett, help me.
No touching of the hair and face. Of course.
No personal relationships, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just
no mentioning of personal relationships.
Unless you bring it up, your own.
Unless you bring it up, your own. Yeah. Don't talk about your girls. Yep. Or guys.
My body count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
And one's person's views don't necessarily represent the views of everyone in the group.
Correct. So if Gabriel starts talking about basically anything, feminism mainly, it does not represent my view. Okay.
All right.
So it's been a crazy week. It's been a really crazy week.
Yep.
There's a lot happening in the culture.
Yeah.
North Korea's firing missiles. Joe Biden just told him if you do it again, we're going to slap your hands.
Joe Biden's.
What else is happening?
Elon gets Twitter tomorrow.
Yes.
Elon gets Twitter tomorrow.
Yep.
That was so cool watching him. Did you see the video of him?
With the sink?
Yeah. He's walking into the Twitter headquarters with a sink.
Yo, did you see the list of demands that
yes,
the Twitter staff?
I saw this too. Yeah.
No, what is it? I didn't see it.
It's genius. We demand leadership to respect the platform and the workers who maintain it by committing to preserving the current headcount. There's problems right there.
Right.
Meaning can't get rid of bots.
No, I think they're talking about the workforce, aren't they?
Oh, maybe. Okay. Because
Elon was going to fire like 2,500 people or something
that? He said he wasn't going to do that today.
We demand that leadership does not discriminate against workers on the basis of their race, disability.
He's not going to fire them all at once.
Yeah.
One at a time.
Sexual orientation or political beliefs. We also demand safety for workers on visas who will be forced to leave the country they work in if they're laid off.
Right.
We demand Elon Musk explicitly commit to preserve our benefits, both those listed in the merger agreement and not. We demand leadership to establish the ensure fair severance policies for all workers before and after any change in ownership. We demand transparent, prompt, and thoughtful communication around our working conditions. We demand to be treated with dignity and not treated as mere pawns in a game played by billionaires.
A game.
That's funny.
As if it wasn't before.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's only a game played by billionaires because Elon.
Signed blue-haired people.
Signed the purple people. My name is Greg Heham, and I'm representing the staff here, the blue people.
They're called the Smurfs. Now they just call themselves the Smurfs.
This is Papa Smurf, Heham. This is Sister Smurf.
Signed,
she, her.
Non-binary.
Yeah.
There's going to be a South Park episode.
And we're all wearing diapers. Because we're the Smurfs.
Chris, did you have any thoughts?
About?
Just about anything.
Yeah.
About
Gordon Fee.
Huh?
Gordon Fee is dead.
Okay, so we have another segment.
Gordon Fee is now in purgatory, paying for his egalitarian heresy.
He now... Now that he's with Jesus,
assuming he's a Christian,
knows that he's.
If he's not a Christian, he's in hell being tortured by the egalitarian heresy demon.
Gordon Fee's commentary on Corinthians is fantastic.
Fantastic! You can't get around that one. No. The cessationist. That's the wall in the road.
But he's gone off somewhere else? Is that what you guys are saying?
Well, how can his commentary on 1 Corinthians be fantastic when he's an egalitarian and reading into the text of chapter 11, you know,
and the last half of verse 14,
and verse 32 and 33 in chapter 14. It's like that's not fantastic. That's not fantastic at all. That's heresy, and that's his eisegesis.
His work on 1 Corinthians 12, and 1 Corinthians 13.
Okay, that's
it.
Fair.
Is a, it and is the a, first half of 1 Corinthians
that's fair.
14.
It's a continuationist bastion to give it to the reformers who have a problem with.
He's the best. Gifts. Yeah, I think he was the best Pentecostal academic that they've created so far.
Are we going to get him on Flames?
Obviously, besides.
He's dead. He died. We're talking about a dead man.
Yeah. That's why we're talking about him.
Yeah, he's not coming.
I mean, this is a good Halloween, you know, podcast right here. We're talking about dead people.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. We see that's dead
too
people.
Spooky. Too spooky.
But we love Gordon Fee. We do.
May he rest in peace.
We use his book.
I didn't realize. You didn't say he died. I had no clue.
We use his book for Hermeneutics 1.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, now he's dead and he knows better.
I had to read the Bible for all it's worth. It's a fantastic book.
Very good.
I highly recommend
it. How old was he when he died? We croaked.
I don't know, but you can find some of his old stuff when he was young teaching missions overseas on YouTube, and it's fantastic. It's awesome. It's cool. Really an example for Pentecostals to like beef up their scholarship.
Where did he live? I don't remember.
The greatest Pentecostal scholar in the world just died. He also happened to be the only Pentecostal scholar in the world. Pentecostals are now...
He was both the best for you, and
completely without any help
scholar.
And hope.
Fair.
Run for the hills, Pentecostals.
No. Paula White will be taking
the reformers,
his place.
The reformed scholars are coming for you with guns. All of a sudden, the reformed scholars are like, we're going DEFCON 4 on the Pentecostals.
Paula,
I'm the Pentecostal people.
Paula White is actually she is
she's a scholar.
She's been formally set in.
She's been set in as replacement for Gordon Fee.
That's fantastic.
Oh wow, that's good.
Ukraine and Russia are still battling.
Ukraine,
yeah.
Yes. I'll note it.
This week in culture.
So there's still so the U.S. still has a proxy war going on and against Russia. Yeah. Awesome.
Correct.
So Joe Biden's hand is still up Ukraine's butt, moving the mouth. We hate Russia. We're going to kill Russia.
The 101st Airborne has been placed on the border of Romania.
Yeah.
First time they've been activated since World War II.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely a proxy war.
For certain.
Russia's trying to claim that Ukraine's going to create a nuclear dirty bomb and basically nuke themselves in order to say that Russia's been nuked.
Yeah, exactly. The antics, man. The antics over there is
and
crazy.
And midterm elections are fast.
CNN keeps pumping it. I read CNN yesterday, and they're like, we got to keep fighting Russia. It's like,
we got to escalate the hell out of this thing.
Sorry. It's like, if anything, think about everything that's happened with COVID the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing is, like, it was CNN and others like them that were, they kept on saying, you know, you have to get this vaccine. If you don't get the vaccine, like, you know, you don't love people and, you know, get the vaccine, it'll stop transmissions, right?
Right.
They're pumping that
medical
stuff.
Information.
Totally. And they escalated. Like, so every single country that like really bought into this and like shut down their economies, they are so screwed right now, right? And the media is part of the reason why we got into this situation. right? Because they kept on spouting the lies, mm-hmm. creating the fear. That's what they love to do. They just create fear.
Even social media, yeah. not just CNN.
Totally. And the media is, they are escalating this proxy war 1,000%.
Right.
They are. It's
knowledge is power.
Totally. Did you see AOC? She's like having like a little like get together for her constituents in New York.
Is she up for re-election?
I don't know. But her constituents, like they all showed up to her like town hall and they were like freaking out about the nuclear war. They're like, we voted for you and you keep on pumping nuclear war. And it is crazy.
She has to be. She's a congresswoman. That's 2 years. Every 2 years they're re-up. They're up again. Jeez. So midterm, she's probably up. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah. It used to be that the neocons were the war hawks. And they still are. But now the left has embraced, you know, proxy wars, foreign wars. And
they've embraced globalism.
It's because they've been embraced globalism. Yeah. And that's one thing I think the neocons and the left have in common, really.
True. So there you have it. So there's
and then what making are, news.
What is else? There is there a punchline to this joke?
Well, I mean, it seems to come up every week.
This is just everything that's happening right now.
It's just everything that's happening right now.
James Corden was he was angry at Balthazar.
At the restaurant.
Yeah.
On spring?
They brought us food cold three times.
And then had hair in it.
Oh.
Yeah. Did he order oysters?
Oh, hair. Dude, hair.
He's like, these oysters are cold.
Okay. So you're eating at a you know,
high end.
Yeah. Well, no, just like Five Guys.
Oh, okay.
And you're halfway through your burger and you discover a piece of nasty hair.
Ooh.
Long black hair. Just, you know, and you pull it out and you're just like, you can see it. It's there. It's like it's just a beautiful little thread. So do you keep eating or do you discard the burger and ask for your money back?
This just happened to me, actually. I bought a sandwich at the gas station. Probably jokes on me. But halfway through the sandwich, there was a hair like this, blonde hair.
Blonde.
Did you finish the sandwich?
I did.
I was going to say.
He's into blondes. He's into blondes. Oh,
is an option to go up and get a replacement?
Yeah. You go up.
I'd go get it replaced.
Okay.
I think most of the time I would, but sometimes the service isn't worth getting it replaced.
You're going to get another hair.
It's like you're going to get another hair, and it's going to take 30 minutes for you to get another
order. Or they're
going to
spit in it because they're mad that you talked about the hair.
Yeah, there's exactly. You get it, and there's like five more hairs in it.
Yeah.
Another
it's nasty business.
Yeah.
It is. Another.
And they're even more curly. Oh.
Did this happen to you, Gabe? Is this a
this did happen to me. This did happen to me. Yeah. I just kept eating.
If I had Gabriel as a customer, I would absolutely sabotage his food. So my mom is like my mom is absolutely the most embarrassing human being that exists. She always has been, always like when we were, from the time I could remember, my mom would she walk around with like fat tracks in her purse, right? Okay. And she like gives out tracks. Like we'll be at the mall, you know, and like I'll be like 12 years old. I'm like trying to form an image and like be cool and be accepted or whatever. And my mom will be like, "Let's go witness to those kids," you know. And she'll like, it's like no,
pulls out her like 3,000 tracks.
Totally. She'll like my
which
mom.
One?
My
which
mom's
one?
She's the type of person that will she overshares in public to people that are just absolute strangers.
Like TMI.
Yeah. And then she'll start crying. She'll cry on the drop of a dime. Like I remember Gabe and I were at the Christian Music Store in Hamilton, Ontario, at the West Mountain Mall or whatever it was. And mom's like, okay.
That's a Christian bookstore?
Yeah, Christian bookstore.
Yeah.
She's like, you can pick out anything you want to listen to, like a CD. So Gabe picks like, I don't know.
This is when she found out that we were listening to secular music. Okay.
All so you wanted to go to
she
was
discovers,
HMV.
Yeah, we're at the age of, you know, 8 or 9 or whatever.
No, and we're 12, 13 years old.
Okay. Well, what? No.
Yep.
No, this is like early 90s because I picked out the Newsboys' Take Me to Your Leader. It just came out. Was that 95 that album came out?
So I would have been 12. I would have been 13.
Oh, okay.
So long story short, Gabe, so we go out. She's like, okay, you can pick any Christian music you want. So Gabe picks out Newsboys. I pick out.
Great album, by the way.
96. Song Breakfast is on that album.
Dude, that whole album is just, I think that's their best.
It is.
Okay, so long story short, I pick out, what did I pick out?
You picked out MXPX.
MXPX. Nice. Right? So my mom goes to the cash register, and she starts to bawl her eyes out and starts telling the lady behind
I don't know why he chose this album.
Then she turns around. She starts prophesying over me.
No.
And she's going, there's a call of God on your life, and you're better than this. You will not be rebellious. Totally. Yeah. And it's like, I want to die. I want to die. I want to die. Kill me now.
I think he just stared blankly at her and then walked out of the store and waited.
It's like anytime we were at the mall, I was always like 100 feet away from her. It was like it was like a court order. A court order distance.
Meanwhile,
it was like Gabe and Chuck E. Cheese.
While that's happening to you, my oldest brother is bringing in like Slipknot and Limp Bizkit and Swollen Members and trying to get all of us to listen to it in our room.
Call. You want to take it?
Who is it? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Hold that thought.
Hello? 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 I'm good. Where are you calling from today?
Actually, I got your medical profile here that shows that sometimes you feel pain in your back and knees, right? I'm calling you from Medicare Health Center. We are the government employee.
No, I have pain in my buttocks. It's not my back and knees.
Got him.
Yeah. I have hemorrhoids like a bunch of grapes.
Dude, see, you can either look at spam calls as an annoyance or an opportunity.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
The hunter became the hunted.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So, long story short, my mom was, she's always, my whole life has been like that, right?
Uh-huh.
So, that's kind of made me a little bit like, curtly, it'll do two things to you. It'll either make you like curtly aware, you know, so like, oh, I don't want to be embarrassing for other people. And you know what I mean? So like, you know, you retract.
Or
the absolute, exactly. Or you copy that behavior. Gabriel. Yeah.
Copies the behavior.
Copies that. He is.
Roger that.
Yeah, exactly. So when he's like interacting with wait staff or anybody in public, it's always
he's channeling
like,
that.
Totally.
And channeling then, Jan.
And he's going, oh, they're having a good time.
It's the spirit of
no,
Jan.
They're not having a good time.
They're having a great time. They love it.
It's
incredible.
Exactly. So all that to say.
And I turn around and prophesy at Nathan, you will not be rebellious.
Yeah.
You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength.
If I was a gas employee and Gabe comes in and I'm at McDonald's and Gabe's like, excuse me, Jasmine just told me a story. She was in New York and she's eating with Gabe. This is last week.
Oh boy.
And they go to Little Frankie's, which is my favorite restaurant. It's on the corner of First and in
no, we didn't go to Little Frankie's.
Where'd you go?
No, we went to Rin Tin Tin on the corner of Elizabeth and Spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're at Rin Tin Tin and Gabriel orders something and then it comes out. It's not the thing that he thought it was. And he's like, he comes up and he says to Jazz, don't touch it. It's not what I wanted. So then he's like, do you guys have like this, like beets or cucumbers, whatever the heck? And she's like, it's not on the menu. It's on the dinner menu. He's like, well, I didn't want that. I wanted this. And he's like, yeah, but you ordered that. Like, so then Gabe just assumes, well, can you take that back and get me that? And she's like, oh, I can check.
Well, she didn't speak English.
And Tiff's and Jasmine was like, when he like reached out to her, he goes, excuse me, like super loud. And like the lady, like, so everybody in the restaurant was like, ooh. And they both.
There was like two people in the restaurant.
Yeah. And Jasmine says that they look over and they're like, oh, this should be.
Oh, that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They both looked over.
Yeah. Long story short, that's Gabe. So if you ever want the absolute, we need to film him just
in
interact.
Public. Just in life.
In public.
I need a GoPro.
It is bad.
I need like three GoPros on me.
Anyways.
Get that 360 degree angle.
This week in culture, Gabriel gets hair and food. Not shocked.
There it is.
Yeah.
Well, talking about complaints.
Yeah.
Next segment.
Yeah. We have complaints. So Gabe, in case you're unaware, we have an email set up where people can send in their complaints because we were getting a lot of complaints.
Love that.
Funny enough, I don't really see many complaints from our internal staff that had the most complaints. So, and also we have a segment where we ask them a question. They can submit their answers. So we have complaints and we also have sponsorship submissions. Okay. So I'm going to read the first one.
Yeah. What's the
first,
email address?
It's wah-wah-wah at theosu.ca.
How do you spell wah?
W-H-A-W-H-A-W-H-A at theosu.ca.
Is it W-A-H?
Yep.
Yeah, W-A-H makes more sense.
I'm dyslexic.
Don't ask me
it's
how
all
I know
gone.
That.
It's all gone.
Hua, hua.
Yeah, well, hua, hua. Chris, hua, hua, hua. We're French here. We're Quebecois. Hua, hua, hua. Hua, hua, no. Ribbit, 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 ribbit,
ribbit, ribbit, ribbit.
Frog, frog, frog.
Yeah. Are these more inside jokes?
No,
oh, no, okay. That's just a racial slur.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not.
Are Quebecois are
ethnic slur?
Ethnic. I was gonna
slur.
Say thank you.
Ethnic slur. Sorry, it's a slur.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Okay. So of course the first complaint is from Chris Palmer, and it's about me.
Okay. What's he say?
It's just funny because you wrote this like you didn't know that I was reading it. So he says, sorry. Yes, I would like to complain about Everett Wood. Everett works at TheosU, but I saw him reading an Ibrahim Kendi book, namely his book, Be Anti-Racist at Merity's Bakery in downtown Franklin. I watched Everett for 45 minutes as he was feverishly highlighting section after section, mumbling things to himself like, Nate needs to hear this. I then followed Everett out of the restaurant from a distance because I believe he was up to no good. And I was right. Everett fumbled his way down to Landmark Books and attempted to pawn off David Campbell's Revelation Revealed, saying, I'm done with Western European readings of scripture. This is the problem, and I desire to be part of the solution. Everett negotiated his way up to $8 for Dr. Campbell's book, and he left.
Oh.
When I saw him later at the clubhouse, he was opening a new package of Camel Crush cigarettes and began making passive-aggressive statements about the way we do theology around here. Thought you should know. Thanks, Chris.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Fair complaint. Fair complaint.
Thanks for ratting on
it's
me,
a real
Chris.
Complaint.
Okay.
Some complaints will be false.
Yeah. There's another complaint about me from Jasmine. To whom it may concern, I wish to formally complain about one of your staff members. Why does Everett Wood insist on wearing such fashion-forward clothing? Doesn't he realize he is causing women to stumble, not to mention leading his fellow men of Christ astray with his influence? Mm. Who does this guy think he is? The young men of today really need to think about who is watching them in the way they would, in the way they conduct themselves and how they dress. I personally am too close to Christ to be affected, but I happen to know a few sisters who had to turn off the podcast because of these temptations. I'll be praying for your team, especially young Everett. A concerned sister in Christ.
You guys should be reading the complaints from the actual meme page.
That's true.
You know, you should be like, those complaints are the best.
Are there complaints on the meme page?
All the time.
That's true. We need to.
All the time. Okay, there's like so many Karens on there. It's amazing.
Some of these sponsors.
What about the one with for the review? Review of the guide review. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
There were so many good ones.
We're going to talk about that.
And sure. And our sponsors, people had lots of input on our sponsors. They were the most contraceptives, which is random. But somebody said we should be sponsored by the NWACP. I think that would be interesting.
Okay.
Plant Parenthood, Clear Blue Digital Pregnancy Tests.
Nice.
Christians United for Israel, Joel Osteen Ministries, Bud Light, Carl's Bait and Tackle. I like that. Carl's Bait and Tackle. Yeah, there were a bunch of Chick-fil-A's, real original guys.
Good.
Tampax. And then, Mamitas.
That's nice. Good.
What's Mamitas?
It's like a tequila seltzer that sponsors Sunday Conversations.
Gotcha. Yep.
And then, somebody's complaining apparently we're fat phobic and only have skinny people merch.
We can forward that.
Is that true?
We can forward that to the merch supply.
Oh, actually, yeah, because the extra large, I think I wear an extra large TheosU shirt.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like my belly kind of like protrudes. Now I'm fat. You know, I have a belly. I have a beer belly or something. Oh,
somebody sent in serious complaint.
Really?
Read it.
Yes. Well, it's kind of against our policy because it's more than just the subject line.
Just read it.
Okay.
Take out any sensitive information.
No, leave it all in.
Suicide jokes aren't funny. That's the subject line.
No.
Yep. It's hard when I want to listen to something that makes me laugh, but those jokes can feel pretty triggering. I hate that word, she said in parentheses. Just use caution. All the love.
Is that a reference to the John Crist episode?
Straight to jail.
That was the joke that John Crist said in last episode when he said,
he made a suicide
I don't
joke?
Make this joke, but if I was to make this joke, he told us a joke.
Right. About suicide?
Yeah. But he's like, I don't make that joke.
I don't think it's it's healthy to ever make fun of dead people. Or laugh at them.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, like, suicide jokes aren't funny because when you're making fun of dead people, it's just inappropriate.
What? You can't make fun of any dead people.
You just made fun of Gordon Fee.
Gabe's turning a new
leaf. And I'm taking it back. Everything I said, I'm just taking it back right now.
Yeah, here's the deal. A joke about suicide is that'd be punching down. It could be at
the expense of someone else.
Right. But if it's not a joke about suicide, but suicide is part of it's the medium for the joke, that's different. And a lot of times people don't understand that. Do you know what I mean? So, for example, okay, there's three guys and they commit suicide on each day, and then they go to heaven, and the Lord asks them, you know, what first guy? Why did you commit suicide? And you know,
right?
The joke isn't about them committing suicide.
Right.
It's about
the premise.
Exactly. It's the setup. If that makes sense. And that's, I think, what a lot of times they're not capable of making.
Let's zoom out one more layer.
Yeah.
Let's get to the heart of this.
One
the
more
heart
liar.
Of it is that it's a joke, meaning right. it's not real.
I thought
real.
You were going to say it's all about Jesus,
but
keep going.
It's not real. It's a joke. It's right. not real.
So how can you be offended at
it? So how can you be offended at it? It's not real. It's not like, I don't understand.
Ricky Gervais was brilliant about this during like the woke stuff. And he's like, yeah, you're not allowed to be offended about someone, you know, speaking words like you're being offended over words, you know? And
right.
Ricky Gervais tells this joke. He says, what did the deaf, dumb and blind kid get for Christmas? Cancer.
Right.
Right. And it isn't a joke about deaf people. It's not a joke about dumb people. It's not a joke about blind people, and it's not a joke about cancer.
Right.
It's a joke about
a situation.
It's a joke about how life can just keep getting worse.
Right.
Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And some people's right. luck. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my wife's favorite joke, by the way, that's part of his stand-up bit from from Netflix Humanity, which I think is one of the most brilliant pieces.
Right.
And it's like you have to understand what. There's a difference between subject and medium. Medium is it's the things that you're, you know, the concepts that you're using, if that makes sense.
Being triggered, this whole idea of being triggered.
For example, let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Let's say I write let's say I pretend to be a fundamentalist Christian soccer mom. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm pretending to be her. And I write a review of Nikki Cruz's Run, Baby, Run, which is my favorite book growing up. And my wife read the book, too. It's a great, great book, right? If you don't know who Nikki Cruz is, Nikki Cruz is a famous Puerto Rican guy who got saved. He was a gang member in New York City, right? And
he was a member of the Jets, I believe.
No, it was the Jets. It was something else. The Mau Mau's actually was the gang that he was a part of. I remember that. So imagine like, so in the book, he talks about like he was in a gang and he right. talks about like stabbings and shootings and drugs and prostitution and all this stuff. And then he gets saved by David Wilkerson, who is arguably the greatest missionary
right.
in America
right.
ever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like in the 70s. And then he writes a book about like how he got saved. And now the guys Nikki Cruz is one of the greatest missionaries in America to like gangs and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so he writes this amazing book, right?
And then a fundamentalist, and so you're writing a joke of reviewing it, and you're going, you know, I read Run Baby Run, and there's all kinds of violence in there,
right?
And there's gang activity. Yeah.
This too graphic.
It's just too graphic.
It's putting ideas in people's heads.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. That joke would be hilarious because you're not making fun of Nikki Cruz or his book.
No,
you're making fun of that fundamentalist. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And problematically, though, there's a lot of people who they confuse the subject matter with,
right,
or the medium.
Don't with the subject. Well, exactly. Yeah. It's the whole thing. Don't confuse form with substance.
Yeah.
Don't confuse the form of how you're getting the substance across.
But this is, but then again, though, this is, it's like, this is higher intellectual, higher democratic, you know, top of the Maslow pyramid type stuff.
You'd have to know the references.
Totally.
You'd have to know the backstory and even the subject matter itself.
And are there going to be a lot of people who are going to misunderstand stuff?
Yeah.
And that's the risk you take if you ever say anything that's funny or sarcastic or really smart.
In public.
Yeah, in public. Right. Is that people are going to, you know,
jokes about suicide aren't nice.
I agree. Jokes about suicide are never
right. I wouldn't joke about suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, you could tell a joke with suicide in it, and it would be hilarious.
Yeah. Right.
If it's not about suicide, it's just about, it's about something else, right? Like,
right. I
think that's a fair response.
But suicide is not the medium. So John wasn't making fun of people who commit suicide.
No.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I remember I went to a Chris D'Elia stand-up show, and he had this bit because he was getting a lot of flack at the time for the same thing. He was complaining about all the colleges he goes to, making like, you know, making jokes that involve like those kinds of hot topics.
Right.
And he was just getting really annoyed because everybody would be like, you know, I know somebody though, this is offensive to me. So finally he was like, you know what? I'm just going to pick a joke that none of you guys can get offended at because none of you guys have experienced this, but it's reality, just to prove a point. So he had this whole bit and he did this whole joke because I guess dolphins have actually been known to have relations with humans and like they try to have sex with humans.
Okay.
And this is a natural thing. So he did a whole bit on that and that was his ending bit because he was like, there, you guys cannot get mad at this joke because I guarantee that none of you have ever gotten into a tank with a dolphin and it tried to have sex with you.
Right.
So it's reality, but it's not your reality. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And he still got banned from all universities.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think we've just become, I think we've all become just way too sensitive.
Can't win. No, exactly.
No, because if it hits my thing, then it's not fun.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, but this isn't your thing.
Exactly.
Dolphins, that's not your thing. Yeah, you can't get mad at that.
Exactly. So Ricky Gervais was talking about how he made a joke about peanut allergies. And a lady on Twitter is just like, my daughter has peanut allergies.
Oh.
Jokes about peanut allergies aren't fun. He's like, lady, I make fun of the Holocaust. I make fun of, you know what I mean?
Nothing's off limits for him.
Yeah, he's like, and it, that's the issue with people is it's like, you know.
Well, it's not the issue with people.
This
it's
is the my issue truth with, culture.
It's the issue with
people will always
our childishness as a society.
Well, that's it. But people will always laugh at something else. A joke is always, a joke is never and always at somebody's expense.
Someone has to suffer.
Because A, it's a joke.
Yeah.
But B, it's gonna hit somebody.
It has to, or if it's not funny.
Yeah, totally. So every time that we create a meme, it's hitting somebody.
Right? Yep.
Right? It's hitting somebody.
Yeah.
So you can't start to go, well, this hits me, so it's not funny. Do you know what I mean?
It's a slippery slope if you do. Totally. Yeah.
Why it has to it has to be open season on
and that's
everybody.
Why, I think that's why we should make way more memes about Nathan.
All right.
No.
Let's make one today.
Make
one today. That's the mission
funny.
Today.
It's not
today,
funny.
Today we have to all make a meme about Nathan.
No holds barred.
No holds barred.
Classic literature is filled with all this type of critique. I mean, if you go through it, you begin to see like these authors are really leveling critiques at their society and the culture that they lived in, right? It's kind of like par for course when you're doing something in the arts.